Now it's time for a TARDIS break.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Voiceover Man. It is time for this week's TARDIS break, but before we get into listening to any music, not last weekend, but the weekend before on May 11th, we saw the return of Doctor Who to our screens. It was a gracious return, and I am joined now by a friend of the show and fellow Doctor Who fanatic, Natasha Aspel. Good evening, Natasha.
Hello.
When Doctor Who returned, episode one, before I ask what your thoughts on the episode were, how did you find Shooty and Ruby? It's their second adventure together. How did you feel about their relationship developing?
I love their duo so much. I think it's actually got to be one of the strongest Doctor and Companion duos out there. Their friendship is so strong and funny to watch.
If you were to compare them to one other Doctor Companion duo, who would it be?
I think I would say a mix. So the friendly side of Ten and Donna, but personality-wise, I would probably say Clara and Eleven.
Okay, yeah, I can see that. People have been saying there's a lot of similarities between Ruby and Clara as well.
I kind of see her as a mix between Rose and Clara.
So, here we go. First episode, an episode called Space Babies. Basically, the Doctor and Ruby end up on a space station with babies in control and the boogie monster down below. What were your thoughts on the episode, Tash? What did you like? What did you not like?
Well, I've heard a lot of mixed things on this episode. However, I personally really enjoyed it. I liked seeing actually the interactions between Ruby and the Doctor with the babies. The storyline I thought was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
The only thing that creeps me out a bit is the CGI mouths on the babies. That creeps me out a little bit. But apart from that, I thought it was quite an enjoyable episode.
So in case anybody at home hasn't seen the episode, they had these babies talk. And instead of doing it telepathically, which I think would have probably been the most sensible way to do it, they decided, no, we're going to spend this Disney budget making CGI mouths. And it didn't quite match up with what they were saying. Looked absolutely terrifying.
Yes.
Now, in this episode, we first had our little inkling of Ruby's arc with the Doctor and Ruby seeing a flashback to when Ruby was young. How do you think that's going to develop?
I think it's really interesting, actually. I'm very intrigued into Ruby's storyline. I've heard a lot of different theories. There's one which I'm really hoping is true. The trickster one.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of theories, and with the next episode as well, which we'll talk about later, I'm really, really hoping that one is the right one.
That would be an amazing theory. I'd love to see the trickster actually enter the main Doctor Who universe. Been seen in the spin-off Sarah Jane Adventures, but it would be brilliant to have him back on screen. With one of probably the most terrifying villains of that spin-off, I would say.
Oh, 100%.
That was episode one. Then we moved over to episode two, an episode which I have a feeling was just crowbarred in because of Eurovision. It was a 60s-themed episode. The Doctor and Ruby went to 60s London only to find that music didn't exist anymore. There was a world without music. This was the episode starring Jinx Monsoon from RuPaul's Drag Race as Maestro, a new villain. We'll talk about her in a little minute. But first, what were your thoughts on this episode?
I really enjoyed this episode. As a musical theatre kid myself, I quite enjoyed the music. I liked seeing the Beatles, and I think the 60s style is just so beautiful. So I like outfits.
Yeah.
I thought Maestro was an fantastic villain as well. I thought it was brilliant.
I have one slight criticism. The episode, when it was advertised, was very much advertised as the Beatles episode. But I would have just liked to see them in it a bit more, you know.
Yeah, me too, 100%.
Maestro, a very interesting idea for a villain. She was in there as the child of the toy maker from the 60th anniversary episode, takes away everybody's right to music and uses music to kill them. So how did you feel about her overall portrayal of the character?
Oh, I thought it was a bit spooky. I thought the acting was on point. It really did make me on edge a lot. I think it was written very well. You know, having music actually turn against you and actually could possibly kill you is actually quite a frightening idea when music is seen as something so joyful.
Something that people use to perhaps escape sadness and stuff that's going on in their
life. Yeah. So I thought that was a very cool concept.
It was. Then there was the bit at the end which divided quite a few people. I played it last week, and that is the musical number, There's Always a Twist at the End. How did you feel about seeing another musical number in Doctor Who, following on from the Goblin song in the Christmas special?
I quite enjoyed it. I know a lot of people didn't, though. I also think there's something with the twist at the end with a reoccurring character that keeps popping up, Susan Twist.
Ah, yeah.
I think that definitely links into it. I also think that Maestro's magic power was still lingering around, which might have caused that as well.
Yeah.
Also, people finally being able to express music again.
It was a joyous moment. It actually reminded me of, in Torchwood, the Doctor Who spin-off, there is a short little line that Bern Gorman's character Owen says, which is, thank you for that magical Disney moment. And that is very much what I was thinking at the end. The only problem I had with it, it was a brilliant song, quite catchy. I just wish it was the way they defeated Maestro, because I felt how she was destroyed. She was portrayed as this all-powerful villain, and then she was destroyed by a cord.
Yeah, I wasn't that keen on the ending, if I'm entirely honest. I think what you just said, I probably would have enjoyed more, because the whole thing's like she's trying to steal music, so then suddenly people actually express the music and she can't do anything about that, would work really well.
Exactly, exactly. And I think it leads on to something that this season has been suffering with a little bit, which is pacing issues within the episode. Some of them have felt a bit fast and then slow, not really knowing where they're going until near the very end.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
So we are going to listen to a piece of music now. It is from Doctor Who Series 7, composed by Murray Gold. Kiss the Girl there by Murray Gold from Doctor Who Series 7. Now, this week's episode brought the return of the GOAT himself, Stephen Moffat, returning with what I think is one of my favourite episodes of his. How did you feel about Boom?
Oh my gosh, Stephen Moffat never fails. I think it's one of my favourite Doctor Who episodes ever. I really like the darker episodes. That's just my kind of thing. Yeah, yeah. So seeing Darker back in the season and seeing the acting, you know, Shooty's incredible. And I think it's really impressive being able to write something so good when it's all in one place. Yeah. You know, you're so used to seeing the Doctor and his companion running somewhere, but the Doctor was stood in one place the entire episode. So it was very intriguing.
And the tension was there from the very beginning. I mean, a mini synopsis of the episode. The Doctor and Ruby arrive on an alien world and the Doctor steps on a landmine. If he moves, he's gone and half the planet is gone. And I think that writing was phenomenal. Now, Moffat did something Moffat always does. He killed a companion very early into the story.
Yes.
How did you feel about that? Obviously, we knew Ruby wasn't going to die, but when you saw her death on screen, how did you feel?
I remember thinking, hang on, what? Like, it took me back a bit because I was like, I swear, she's in so much more. But in that moment, I was so surprised.
It also had me double guessing myself as well, because I looked back then at the teaser trailers and most of the bits she's in the teaser trailers were only from these first three episodes.
I know. I was thinking, what?
Oh, no. And there was the character in this episode, Monday, who yes. was a cleric. How would you describe the cleric, Tash?
Oh, she's going to know yeah. about her emotional feelings, you know, doing her job first. But you could definitely see her sensitive side as well.
She was played by Virada Sethu, who, it has been confirmed, will be in season 2 as a new companion of the Doctor. What do you think the situation is going to be here? Do you think it's going to be like Rima Agyeman, who played Martha Jones, where she was in an episode early on in David Tennant's era, was later said that that character was a cousin of the eventual character she played? How do you think we're going to get her back? Do you think the companion will be Mundy or someone else?
Oh, well, I read somewhere that Russell T. Davis said that it was someone else, but I'm not so sure. I mean, if it is that, perfectly fine with that, but I reckon there could be a very cool storyline.
Okie dokie. So, next week's episode, we will talk about very, very quickly an episode called 73 Yards. The Doctor and Ruby find themselves on a Welsh hilltop and appear to be being chased down by something. Going back a bit to the supernatural and mythology of the first two episodes, how do you think it's all going to play out?
I am very, very excited for this episode. I really like seeing the companions, you know, be independent and kind of understand themselves without the Doctor.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to see Millie's acting as well. And hopefully understand more about who she is.
Hopefully. We never know what is going to happen. And Tash, thank you very much. We'll have you back again in about 3 weeks' time to talk about yes. the next three episodes. See you soon. Thank
Bye.
You for joining us. Bye. Bye.